Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness. We count on that, Lord. Lord, in some ways we take it for granted, in other ways we don't appreciate it. So, Lord, grant us strength by your Spirit to realize, to apprehend, and to make part of who we are and what we are, the extent of your goodness and your faithfulness, what that means. Build us up, Lord. Strengthen us with power from on high that we might know what your love is towards us. We need to know that. We don't, Lord. We don't. Thank you, though, for your goodness to us here tonight, for the good spirit we sense, Lord. And we do pray that you will be with our brother Benny, Lord, who needs employment, Lord. Amen. Now, Lord, all these things are in your hand, and you knew the end from the beginning. You have a way for Benny, and you cause all things to work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So we're anticipating, Lord, that you will be leading Benny to something that will meet the needs of his family. Amen. And something that will supply, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so just bless him, Lord, in this time. Speak to his heart, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're talking about your word tonight, Lord, and Benny needs to hear a word from you, Lord. He needs to hear a word from you, Lord, a word from the Father. Just like you spoke to me many years ago when I lost a job and you told me to rest. And I was full of nervous energy. I didn't get another rest for a long time, Lord. So help us to hear and to do what you say. Help him to be able to rest in you, that you have all things under control. And for the rest of us, Lord, that are with the housing market, Lord, and our jobs are tied to that, Lord, our security is not in the economy. Our security is not in our job, our position. Our security is not in our wits or in our resume. It's in you. So in the midst of all the difficulties and problems, we're trusting that you have provision for us, Lord. And if that you have change in store for us, it will only lead to that which is better. So we do remember each one of us, Lord. And thank you that Ruth is able to be with us. Thank you for the good health that you've given my mother. And thank you for Pat, Lord. She's doing well. For our pastors, Lord, for giving them strength and giving them ears to hear what you are saying to us. Now, Lord, we pray for our speaker tonight that you would help him, Lord, as he's got these spots in his mouth, Lord, where he's bit his tongue and bit his cheek. And we just pray that that would not be a distraction. And that the weakness and the fatigue would not be, not only would it not be a hindrance, Lord, but it would, as your word said, there would be your power and your strength manifest here among us tonight, Lord. Yes. The power of God. Now, Lord, we pray your blessing on each one, both those who are here and those who are not able to be here, and those who hear us, Lord, either by tapes or CDs or through the internet, Lord. Let your blessing be on what you are saying, and give us both the grace to hear and to say what's being said, and to perceive and allow that word to enter into our being and find a good place, Lord, that it may bring forth fruit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about what have we been talking about? Does any of the Palm Boys know what we've been talking about? Yes, we talked about that before, and then we talked about prayer. And what did we talk about last week? Just a guess. You weren't here last week? Oh, okay. Well, just guess. What do you think we might have been talking about last week? W-O-R-D, the word. Yes. Okay, very good. I don't know how they figured that out. Okay, and what did we made a distinction? Remember, we made a distinction. Does anybody remember what the distinction was that we made?
Jesus. Jesus is the word and the scriptures.
Okay, we're talking about the word.
All right, and when we talk about the Word, you'll see the Word mentioned as the Scriptures. I call it the Scriptures because Jesus usually called it the Scriptures, but there are many verses, particularly in Psalm 119, that talk about the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. I don't know what it is in the NIV. I don't know where it is. I saw it. I looked it up, didn't write it down, but it's in Psalm 119. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Okay? That's obviously King James. I don't know what words they use. They may have substituted because there are other substitute words for that word. And that is thy precepts. Because Psalm 119 has many of those corollary words for the word. Precepts, commandments, statutes, ordinances, law. Okay? And we made a few... I'm getting ahead of myself. So we distinguish that, the Scriptures, from the Word, who is Jesus. Okay? So Isaiah and Isaac, who is the Word? Jesus is the Word, okay? And we saw that. He's the Word that became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. Okay? And we looked a little bit at the Greek, because we have a Greek with us. And what we found was that what I was taught is not verifiable by the illustrations that were given. But we did make an observation that one was a noun. And Tony will tell us how to pronounce that. Wait a minute. I see big.
No.
The noun is the
logos.
Logos. But you got to say it with a ch in your mouth.
Logos.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And the other is a verb, and that is the...
Rima.
See, okay, thank you very much. See, we don't have to worry about pronouncing these words correctly because our resident scholar has done it for us, okay? The noun is the logos. Logos, okay, the logos. And the verb, which denotes action, okay, is rhema. All right? And we looked at a few of the verses that show which is which. And these are Greek terms, by the way. So we're referring basically now. I don't know that there is a distinction. I did not look it up. If there's a distinction in the Old Testament between word and word. Okay, but there is in the New. Okay. Sometimes we read word. In the beginning was the word. That's the logos. It's a noun. Okay. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, okay? Jesus Himself is the Word. So I like to make this distinction, because when we talk about the Word, and a lot of people talk about the Word and how important it is, the Word, and we're talking about Christian disciplines. So this is Christian Disciplines, the Word Be. There was your title, okay? Christian Disciplines, the Word Part B. When we talk about the Word and the importance of the Word in Christian disciplines, there's two aspects to this that we must get. Can you guess what those two aspects are? Judging from what I just took you through.
The written Word and the spoken Word.
The written Word meaning what God has put down in the Scripture. And what did we say about the Scripture? What were some of my recommendations on the Scripture? You weren't here with us last week, but yes, Ron.
To meditate in the Word.
To meditate. Why did Ron like the word meditate? Why did he pick up real quick on that, Ron?
Because some of us, myself included, have trouble memorizing, and memorizing for itself doesn't bring life, doesn't bring the living Word. It can be just dry.
It can be dry. Memorizing is good, and I recommend it to every one of you who has that capability. Some of us have learning problems. Yep. Learning skills and memorizing. I did not do well in spelling. I did not do well in math. I did not do well in music. Music? In one sense, I'm a very good musician. In another sense, I can't, in my reading skills in music is C, Alice, run. That's how I read music. And the reason is because you have to memorize this figure on this line, on this bar, on this page, represents an A. And the only way to do that is to memorize that. So you look at that and you go, okay, that's an A. And you bring it back up a few minutes later and you go, what is that? And I look at it and it's like, I've never seen that before. It's an A. Oh, it's an A. And a few minutes later, you bring it back up and what is that? Somehow the synapsis doesn't work in this brain. Is that my fault? When I was young, they blamed us. Second grade teacher, I remember the little talk with mom. Come into class. You know, Stanley's a bright boy. We can tell he's a really bright boy. But he just doesn't apply himself.
He doesn't pay
attention. And he doesn't try hard enough. If he would just try a little harder, he could do very well. You know what that said to Stanley? I'm trying as hard as I can. And if that isn't good enough, I quit. So from second grade on, I started going down, not up. Because back then, they didn't realize that some of us have a problem with some learning skills. And some of us, let's see, is it time to go bike riding now? What were we talking about? We just have a hard time keeping our mind on what we're talking about. There's only one thing, really, that's ever really been outstanding in terms of my being able to grasp and hang on to. Most everything else is a little scattered. When it comes to the kingdom, I can focus pretty well. Okay? So memorization, remember, I recommend it for anybody that can, and it's a good way to learn scriptures, but what I said was a couple things. One, A, I can't think of a single verse that tells you to memorize. I can think of a lot of verses, and we went through some that says meditate. And I can meditate. Anybody can meditate. I'm not penalized. I can meditate. And I can have a very good grasp of what the scripture says, even if I can't tell you where I found it. It's helpful to know where you found it. Because if you're trying to explain it to somebody and you want to show it to them and you don't know where it's found and Lisa's not right there, it's a little difficult finding it. Okay? So these things are advantageous to those who have those gifts. I'm very thankful for those who have those gifts and I appreciate them. And for Tuesday nights, like I said, for all of you that can't tell, I've got a whiz bang back in the back on the computer for me. So I say the verse and he goes through the little thing, pops up, and there it is. It's wonderful. So modern technology, you see, God knew all along that I wasn't going to have to worry about memorizing, okay? And the other thing I mentioned was that the Pharisees had 5 books of the Bible memorized by heart.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that much life in them.
Yeah.
When the Word showed up, they despised Him and sought to kill Him. So that's why I make a distinction, okay? So, the word is, for the most part, interchangeable between the scriptures and Jesus. But ultimately, it's Jesus himself that is the word. Because the scriptures don't contain the word within them in the sense that God can lead you. Jesus said of the scriptures, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But you don't come to me. See, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. He said to Martha and to Mary, I am the resurrection. He's the resurrection, He's the life. The scriptures are to lead us to Him. The whole purpose of the scriptures is to lead us to Him, the person. Because it's not just what's written, He's speaking today. Okay? So one of the things we want to look at tonight is how does He speak? All right? Okay. So, let's look at, I don't know if this is a conundrum. What's a conundrum? It's a big word. Other than that, what's a conundrum? Come on, some of you big word.
Kind of a mystery.
kind of a mystery. That's a way of saying what a conundrum is. A perplexing problem where you cannot see a good solution. Good, I like that. Let me see if I can introduce you to what should be, upon surface value, a conundrum. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6, you should know right away, is part of the Beatitudes, right? There you go. I learned it by association. Okay? I don't know how I got it, but when I work with things, I can learn by association. I play guitar by association. I know positions far better than I do. Sometimes I can play a thing and I know that that's the right one, and I have to figure out, what was that I just played? Okay? So let's go to verse, let's look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, okay? Which isn't really the Lord's Prayer, it's Him teaching us to pray, right? And if you're Catholic background, it's known as the Our Father. Okay? I think I'm not got a Catholic background, so I'm only going by what I've been told. All right, so let's start with verse 9. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What has that got to do with the word, Stan? I didn't see word in there at all. Neither did I. But in seeking out our conundrum, we're going to get to the word. All right, let's look at verse 11. Here's Jesus, and He's telling us how to pray. And He's saying to us, okay, pray like this. Give us today our daily bread. All right, now, what's He mean? Give us today our daily bread. Well, God supply enough food for us to eat, right? Okay, so that's what He means. He wants us to pray that we ought to be concerned about how much we eat. Let's look over a little farther down through the same chapter, verse 25. And Jesus says, for this reason, the fact that you can't serve two masters, either God or mammon, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? All right, now, does this look like maybe somewhat of a conundrum? He's just telling us to pray. Pray for your daily bread. And then He says, don't worry about it. Wouldn't you think if you're supposed to pray about it, you'd worry some of it? I mean, maybe that's the key, huh? Worry. You're supposed to think about it, but not worry about it, right? Come on in. We do. Come on, have a seat. Okay? Mostly what we do is make the distinction between worrying, okay? I'm not worrying about it. I'm not anxious about it. I may be thinking a lot about it, but I'm not really anxious about it or worrying about it, right? That's the way we like to do with that. Then we get out of our conundrum. Is Jesus worried? Is He telling us to concern ourselves over food? No. No. Then what is He asking us to be concerned about? What do we need every day then?
Him.
I told you we'd get to the word, wouldn't we? All right. So we're going to go backwards to chapter 4, verse 4. Remember when Jesus was tempted? What was He tempted about? Food. If food is the issue, this would be a real temptation. Food is an issue when you're hungry. And it is a real temptation. Okay? So, here's a test. What is he really concerned? When he says, pray about bread, this should show in this verse what the real issue is. Is it food or something else? Because this is the temptation. This is the thing that distinguishes. And what does Jesus answer the devil? Because the devil says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You think Jesus has the power to turn stones to bread?
Yep.
He can turn water to wine. If he can walk on it, he can turn stones to bread. Not a problem. So that was, that was a tempting temptation. But what did he say? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So the issue isn't food, is it? But here we go. We got back to our topic tonight. But on every word, I didn't look it up, Tony, but I think I looked it up and I remember this is a rhema. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When you pray, pray like this. God, speak to me today. Your word is life. Give me my deal. Yes.
And we also should receive from our heart we pray also, and God will listen to us.
Surely He listens to our hearts.
If we just in our mind and hearts, that He can feel and hear it.
He can hear your mind and heart. Exactly. And what we should be asking for, we're going back now to chapter 6, verse 11. What is he telling us to pray for? Food? See, in Our Father, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And what I'm trying to show you is that the issue is not food. The bread he's talking about is hearing from God. How many of us pray every day? God, I have got to hear from you today. How many of you get up in the morning and plan on not eating all day? Not too many construction workers, believe me. It's a tough row to hoe doing construction without breakfast. A lot of them don't eat breakfast. And by 10 o'clock, they're gobbling down burritos this big because they're out of energy. And by the time they get done gobbling down that big burrito, they've got 2 pounds of all this stuff to digest. And so their production is not as good as it ought to be. We do things poorly. We don't think through what we're about. A smart construction worker has eaten before he gets to the job. So he has energy to make it to the next time he heats. And he doesn't overeat. He eats enough over different periods of time to keep his energy. Okay? We do the same thing with God. Okay? A smart Christian, disciplined, gets up listening. What are you going to say to me today, God? When are you going to say it? He doesn't always tell you in the first thing in the morning. Boy, it'd be neat if he did. Okay? But when do you gather the manna? When do you gather the manna? When the manna fell down out of heaven in the wilderness and the children of Israel were commanded to go get it, when, what part of the day were they told to go and find the manna?
Early
in the morning. Does that sound like something that did we talk about early in the morning before, Isaiah? Huh? Early rising? We did, didn't we? Manna, what is it? That's exactly what they said too. What is it? Okay. That's what manna means. It's the food that God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness. He fed them manna, little teeny things that they had to go out and collect in the morning. So every morning we should be up there with our ears collecting. That doesn't mean they only ate in the morning. They just collected in the morning. They collected enough in the morning to last them throughout the day. Yeah, that's what they call it, the food the angels ate. Yeah, the manna. Okay? So every day you and I, And our Christian disciplines should do what?
Collect manna.
All right. Now, let me tell you a little secret about collecting manna. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Okay, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Okay, the children of Israel had to get up early in the morning to collect manna. And it says concerning when they collected the manna, that he who collected a little bit didn't have any lack. And he who collected a whole lot didn't have any too much. Isn't that an interesting thought? The guy who was only able to collect a little bit had enough to make it through the day. Somehow, a little bit worked. And the guy who really hoarded it up and got himself a whole lot, by the end of the day, he didn't have any left over. Some days God will give you big revelations, and some days God will give you little ones. Their life. Each day you need life for that day. Whether it's a big revelation or just a little thing that God speaks to you and shows you His faithfulness. We've got to learn to see how God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us constantly. The rhema, the word that's proceeding out of God's mouth. It's proceeding out of God's mouth on a regular basis. We have to learn how to perceive it. Our problem is not that He's not speaking. Our problem is that we're not perceiving. Okay? Ah, here we go. This is one of the rewards to the church. Which church is this? 17. 2:17 was Pergamum. Okay? To him who has an ear. Oh! What do you need an ear for? To hear what? The word. The word. You've got to have an ear to hear what God talks. He's talking. Can we hear Him? It's not this ear that hears.
No.
It's the ear of the heart.
Yes.
Yes.
It's what's inside of you.
It's inside of you. You're able to receive what God is saying. And right, and able to make sense of it. And utilize it. And profit from it. That comes from within. Okay, He's not talking about our ears. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The assumption is the Spirit is speaking. To him who overcomes. You like that word? We like that word here. We have a subtitle on the front of the church. The Church of the Overcomers. Okay. To him who overcomes. To him I will give some of the what? Oh, I see two problems with the manna. What are the two problems that you see? One is hard to find. Two, how'd he get it? He got overcome. If nothing else, you got to overcome the hidden part. Hmm?
One comes from the angel and the other one will be coming, but not like...
Mm-hmm. The man.
Yes.
The angel gave them the food.
Yes. And then some of the children, they haven't got to it yet. They didn't get the chance to get it. So somehow, and then somehow what happened is, then won't be enough for the rest. So another day, somehow the angels and the... We'll make sure, you know, in the future, soon will be to give to the people or the girls and the boys that they didn't get it. Make sure that they get it.
They get it. Mm-hmm. He gives us the some of the hidden manna. Okay, the two problems with it is that it's hidden, and it comes to him who overcomes. What do we have to overcome in order to get that manna? Well, I'll tell you one thing I have to overcome if I'm getting up early in the morning. That's sleepiness. I'm tired early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. That's why I recommend that you move around. And I'll confess to you, I struggle as much with this as you do. None of us, none of God's children can be without the manna because we can't live without it.
Because you mentioned that, you want us to sleep, you don't want us to do it.
Right. We have to overcome that sleepiness. Overcome the... I'll tell you another thing. When it's light, it's light enough to see outside, I can see a bazillion things I can do. Especially if like it's on a weekend or something. I can see a bazillion things. Oh, that's right. I'm looking out the window. Oh, yeah, that needs to be taken care of. Oh, wait a minute. That needs to be taken care of. That's when my ADD really kicks in, man. I can see all kinds of things that ought to be taken care of. And who didn't get called? And who needs this? And who needs that? And I'll tell you what. It's easy to get distracted. Okay? It's easy to get distracted. But if we overcome, if we're diligent... And believe me, God is not asking us to walk on water in that sense that we have to be perfect human beings, okay? But He expects us to put in an effort. Yes, brother.
I think it's like priorities because, you know, it's the cares and stuff of this life, you know, the stuff we almost need to do, but we can't let that be our priority.
We can't let
distract us and not allow us to have time to seek out this hidden manna. He's got it. I mean, it's out there.
It's there. Okay.
We have to make time for
it. It's there.
Overcome other things in our life that are trying to keep us from that, and the enemy knows that. So he's gonna give you more problems to keep you from seeking when that's what we need to do.
To keep you from seeking. You see. I'll tell you a secret. You can read the Bible, which I recommended that we do. Okay, you weren't here. But I recommend that you read the Bible once through every year, if you can. And a good way to do that is to read a couple of chapters in the Old Testament in the morning, a psalm or two in the middle of the day, and a chapter, just one, in the New Testament in the evening. You'll get through the whole Bible in a year's time. Matter of fact, you'll have to repeat a little bit in the New Testament because if you read one chapter a day, you'll be done before the days are over.
Yeah, you realize, you know, I understand also there's other religion. They memorize the whole religion.
Okay? Yes, right.
They memorize it without, you know, and then they don't have to love, they don't have to...
This is true, but just memorizing it doesn't always put it in your heart.
Some people like that, yeah. Right. Some of them, they're really...
There's a distinction between having memorized something and having had that word come alive in your heart.
I'm with you with that.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So, all right. So here we are. Every day, I recommend that you read the scriptures. Okay. And I also recommended that you read the scriptures in different versions. Because, you get used to reading something in one version and you don't always see what it actually says. And you read another version and it comes across sometimes so different than what you read. Even versions that I don't particularly recommend, you read them and it comes across so different, you think to yourself, oh, I can't really mean that. But when you go back, you see it really meant that more than you thought it did. In many cases, yes.
To me, there's even a third problem up there for the flesh. Because you've identified two of them. One is the overcoming, and the other is the hidden nature of it. But the thing that really stands out to me that is a third problem for the flesh is some. Because the way I'll read that is, to him who overcame in the past tense, I'll give the manna, I'll give the whole thing. But that's not it. It's an active process. And we will get the manna to the extent we overcome. The more we overcome, the more we'll get of that hidden manna.
Okay, and when you get the manna, remember, sometimes you get a little. Keep this in mind. God takes us intentionally. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. God intentionally brings us through dry places. And when we're in those dry places, sometimes what He gives us is just a crumb. That's enough. And that crumb is life. You'd be amazed. I read a story about a woman who lived in India who heard one day a verse from a missionary. Heard one day a verse. Gave her heart to God. Prayed and talked to Him for the remainder of her life. Had no Bible ever. Was wonderfully transformed. Her whole life was exemplary as a Christian. She heard one day a verse. What He gives us is enough. It grows. The thing that you need to know about this word is that it's a seed. I'll show you that in a minute. It's a seed. The word is a seed. When God speaks a word into our heart, it's a seed, John. That means it comes with the ability and everything in it necessary to grow into a very large amount of fruitfulness and growth. But it comes as a seed. It comes usually in a small package. It depends on what you do with the seeds. We learn that in the parable. I grow things. I grow vegetable gardens. I grow bonsais. I grow roses. I grow a lot of things from seeds. Believe me, I can get a seed and sit it out on my table with next to my bonsais, and it doesn't do much.
Yeah, I need to learn about seeds and flowers and how to, you know,
farm. Cultivate it. What God is trying to say is how to cultivate His Word in your life. So that it, in when God speaks a life into you, you allow it to transform your life. You allow it to get within you and change what you think and what you do.
See, back home, I don't take care of, you know, we have everything, but I don't take care of the backyard, this and that.
Yeah, but we're not, right now I'm really not talking about the backyard. I'm talking about the Word of God.
And yes, I understand.
The Word of God is a seed. And when He speaks to us, that seed contains within itself life. Enough life for the whole day. Whether it's big or little. Some trees have big seeds and they don't grow up to be very big trees. Some trees have very small seeds and they grow up to be huge trees. The size of the seed is not the determination. The thing that determines the size is the determinant of the tree. It's the life within. Okay? And when God speaks, His Word is a seed. Where do you get that idea, Stan? All right. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Peter's talking about, what I like about Peter is Peter talks about being born again. Okay? Paul didn't talk about it. Peter did. And John did. Okay? For you've been born again, not of seed. Okay? Seed. Talking about seed. Not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. See that? What have we been born of? Seed. And what is that word, Tony, in Greek?
Logos.
No, the seed.
Oh, sperma.
Sperma, exactly. He plants a seed in us. God's seed. His Word is His seed. He plants it in our hearts. That's what we're born of. What do you think it's supposed to produce when it grows up?
It depends on the family how to raise us, and then to me, then the children when they grow up, they're good. They come from a good family, and either they'll follow the good crowd and become the good angel in life and do good in life, help the best.
Now, what we're talking about in this verse, the seed is the seed of God.
I understand.
Okay, so what does the seed of God produce?
The life in the heart. And
what life?
A human being.
Nope.
I'm still learning.
The seed of God produces God.
Not human. God.
My seed produced grown women like me. I didn't get any boys. Now, he's going to have plenty of boys back here. Okay? We were beginning to wonder whether he could produce girls, but he proved. He's a better man than me. He's not just one-sided. He can have girls too. No. Okay? But all I had was girls. But they all grew up as adults. It's amazing, but they did.
Yeah.
Okay? But they're human like me. The seed of God is God, not human. It grows up like him. Not likeness. The same thing. Jesus is the Word. If that seed is planted in us, what's it going to grow up to be?
The Word.
The Word. Jesus was the Word who became flesh. You and I are what? We're flesh. What are we becoming?
The Word.
The Word. It's growing in us, Tony. We're becoming the covenant of God to the earth. Hebrews. I need the water. Hebrews chapter 8. Did you understanding that?
My son's supposed to pick me up from the Indian team, but I didn't make it on time to be with the crowd, you know, the group.
And so will he know where to pick you up?
9 o'clock at the 15.
Okay. You have time. We'll be out of here soon. You have time. Okay. Well, if you have to call him, you're welcome to do whatever you have to. You can.
I hope that phone will work.
Well, just step out there and give it a try and see if it'll work for you. All right. Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 12. Talking about the covenant. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws. Okay? Remember we said that we can, one of the words for the scriptures and one of the words for the word is the laws of God. I will put my laws into their minds. This is, by the way, this is what I count on. This is what I count on. I can't memorize. It doesn't work for me. I can take a verse and put it on my visor or put it on my refrigerator, or I can go over it and spend 2 weeks on it and still not know what it is. Sorry. Maybe I'm not sorry. It's just the way it is. Okay? But I'm counting on this verse. I'm counting on it actually happening. Yeah, bro.
There's also another scripture where Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance all the things I have taught.
All the things, that's right. I think it's in John 16 where he's talking about the things that the Holy Spirit do. The Spirit will bring you into all truth and it will bring to all remembrance the things that he taught us. I'm counting on this because I can't memorize this stuff. Besides that, the Pharisees gave me a great example of those who did memorize and it didn't help them. Okay? So he's going to write the laws in our minds and he's going to write it in our hearts. And he will be their God and they shall be his people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Amen. All right. So this word that God has given us is growing in our heart. It's the thing that was born within us. We're becoming that covenant. He's writing it in my mind and in my heart. Not because I'm memorizing it. Not because even meditating on it helps. But it's because it's part of the covenant. And the process that we go through in our Christian disciplines, it helps. You have to keep reading the Bible. You have to keep seeking God's face. You have to keep doing these things so that that which is the process that is going on within us will continue. If you have a bonsai tree and you're growing it, and whether you bought it at a store or you put it in a little pot, you spent years growing it up in a bigger pot or whatever, and then you finally get in those little flat trays, and that's not a lot of soil to grow it in, okay? And you put it in there, and then you go and you neglect it, and you come back out a week later to water it to see how it's doing. Guess what you're going to find? Most likely on a good hot day with a Santa Ana, you're going to find a crispy tree. You may have paid $800 for that thing.
Yep.
Or spent 8 years making it. If you neglect it, it will die. And the word that God gives us, if we neglect it, if we neglect to do these disciplines, if we neglect seeking His face, if we neglect reading His word, what's going to happen to the life in us? It can die. It can die. And if you don't take care of it and feed it in enough garbage, it will die. Okay? So, when we see in John, did you get through to your son? Did it work? So do you need to walk home then?
Yeah, well, I live right above the, where past the train station, on the end road, a little above that road. After the
okay, so it's not far away. Okay. All right, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's interesting. He was, He being the Word. The Word is a He. The Word is a He, boys. Who is the Word?
Jesus.
Jesus is a He. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. When it says, God said, light be, that same was the Word. Right? When you say something, that's a word, right? So it was the Word that spoke. So when God created the heavens and the earth and everything, it was the Word that spoke. Light be. And there was light. Waters divide. And the waters divided. Yes, the Word said it. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Word. Okay? And all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, and that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. And there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, who's him?
Jesus.
The Word. To them, he gave the right to become. Yes, children of God. And the Word comes into your heart. What's born in you is God. Children of God.
even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When the Word is born in us, it's born of God. And it grows up and produces God. We are the flesh becoming the Word. He was the Word who became flesh. We are flesh. We're becoming the Word. We're becoming the expression. Both what is written. Paul said, you are my testament. What, written in your hearts. You're the testament of who I am and what I've been doing. Okay? But we're also to be those who are speaking. Let what you say be as the oracles of God. That's what God is speaking. Okay? So that what you should be hearing tonight, if God is at work, you should be hearing from God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you it's hidden. It's hidden, Lord. Because if it wasn't hidden, then the enemy could make hay with it. But it's hidden to him, Lord. He may have it memorized, but he doesn't know what it means. But you have made it known to us, Lord. You are revealing it to us. Our Father is revealing to us what you are saying. Our Father is revealing His Word in our hearts to us on a daily basis, Lord. Teach us, I pray, through your Spirit, to be diligent in the discipline of abiding in your Word, both in reading the Scripture and learning to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you every day. And we thank you that you have spoken to us today. Now, Lord, let that word which you have spoken abide in our hearts. Let it bring forth fruit, Lord. But help us to remember it's only good for today. We got to go back tomorrow and get food for tomorrow. We need to find more word tomorrow. And you're speaking because you're faithful. It's there. It's there. It may be hidden, but it's there. Each day, it's there. Give us, I pray, Lord, those ears to hear, the diligence to seek, that we might be fed with the hidden manna, the life of Jesus, that we might live, not as humans, but as Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.